This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Good Morning NoCo with Brian Carey and Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Well, our first story here, news for Northern Colorado, presented by CRP 4x4 Truck Outfitters, is a scary one for any parent. Monday night, Greeley police responded to the Bears Village Apartments on 18th Street following reports of a missing three-year-old girl. Mm. The mother reported that her daughter had last been seen at approximately 4:30 p.m. playing at a playground around the corner from their apartment. Several residents in the area provided video footage to officers showing what the girl was last seen wearing and her appearance prior to her disappearance. At approximately 7:15 p.m., so we're going on 3 hours at this point, officers received a report from a citizen stating that the girl was seen walking in an alley near Cranford Place with an adult woman. So at this point, they think that they've located the girl, but she's with an adult woman. The child and woman were ultimately located in the 1400 block of 15th Street at approximately 7:45 p.m. The adult female was taken into custody without incident and transported to the police department. She was later booked into the Weld County Jail on charges of felony, second-degree kidnapping, and child abuse. The child was transported to a local hospital for a precautionary evaluation and has since been reunited with her family. And those are the details we have right now, but a scary story that resulted in a happy ending for the, you know, a good ending for the family of getting their daughter back. But that is incredibly, incredibly scary, Brian. I can't even imagine.
No, it's absolutely terrifying, and it is every parent's nightmare. It's every fear you want to feel. Oh, you know, we're just the park is just a block down the street. You know, when I was growing up, you know, you could go out, you'd play in there. You didn't even think twice. And now I've always thought, oh, I'm overly paranoid about things when I'm like, no, I don't want you to go with nobody to this place, or, you know, we're just going to walk down to the store and all that. Yeah, sounds innocent in a different time, mm-hmm. but these days you can't give the benefit of a doubt. You know, I'm just talking in general for all of our fears that, you know, that this kind of thing could happen. What in the hell is wrong with this person?
Yeah, it was a 30-year-old woman that is now facing second-degree felony kidnapping.
It will be interesting to see what the mental state of this person was and you know, other factors that go into this. But an absolute nightmare. It is something we have all feared. We've all had it where just for a moment you can't find your kid. Yeah. Whether it's just below your eyesight or whatever, but that feeling is so intense, I can't imagine it for a prolonged period of time.
Yeah, 3 hours of this. And, you know, it's that. This is what I loved about growing up in the country and now raising kids in the country. Mm-hmm. As long as he goes east, he's fine, right? There's a road to our west, but as long as Tate's east, he's fine. Now, you know, there's animals, right? Like snakes, stuff like that. That crosses your mind, but there's nobody that, you know, that I have to worry about on that. I can't imagine reading between the lines for me on this. The fact that, you know, there was a number of videos of what she was wearing and stuff like that, and it was right around the corner of the apartment. You know, that to me sounds like, hey, I got to run and do this real quick. Can you keep an eye on? Right. This is just me reading between the lines on this. These people knew the kid. Obviously, the people are at the park when they realized, oh, my God, she's not here anymore. They knew the kid because they instantly had videos to show to the cops of this. So I'd imagine that this is something where, you know, felt safe doing it because, oh, these people know our kid. They just absolutely terrifying. And I'm so glad it came to, you know, it was this ending where 3 hours later.
Oh, absolutely. No,
great work by the Greeley Police Department.
No question. And I'm thrilled whatever came into play, whether it's people on social media who saw something, whatever it was. Well done. Happy for the ending on this. But it's a terrifying thing. And it's a reminder that there really is no place where there isn't the potential for trouble.
100%. 100% agree with that. Let's move to our next story here. News for Northern Colorado, presented by CRP 4x4 Truck Outfitters. This one coming courtesy of the Coloradoan in a story that we had done a long time ago. But this was coming from the Loveland Police Department. Remember, right when we started this program, the Loveland Police Department was in a ton of trouble for a number of different things. But Loveland has agreed to pay a settlement to the family whose dog was shot and killed by a Loveland police officer nearly 7 years ago. Remember, we did this story.
I do remember.
According to the Colorado and Loveland Police Department, officer shot and killed a 14-month-old dog while responding to a trespassing call on June 19th of 2019. In May, the city agreed to pay the family $675,000 and update the department's policy and training on dog encounters, according to a news release from the city. This was one where there was the body camera footage came to light, you know, about 3 years afterwards, and it looked really damning. That the dog looked like it was ready to play. You know, I understand and we are ones that, hey, all those cops out there, we support you and things like that, but you've got to be better than that. That dog was not an imminent threat to that officer, and now the city of Loveland is paying $675,000 on a very tight budget already, which we know, but over $500,000 because of a poor decision by a police officer 7 years ago.
Yeah, it's sometimes surprising how slow the wheel of justice moves, you know, when you're 7 years, you know.
A lot of arbitration, I'm sure, of saying what is the right dollar amount for this, but it's crazy that that's been 7 years. It's crazy that we've been doing this show that long.
It is. That's only one dog year, though. Sorry.
News for Northern Colorado, presented by CRP 4x4 Truck Outfitters, online at crp4x4.com. Today, going to be very dry here in Northern Colorado.
Yes.
Upper 80s to upper 90s here for Northern Colorado.
This is the most brutally sunny start to a day we've had in some time. We've gotten to the warmth, but it started out with a good cloud cover. Today, absolutely none.
Hot, windy at times, elevated fire danger dry for most of Northern Colorado. Cody's saying the extended forecast, a cooler Thursday behind a front that's going to come through, which much cooler Sunday into next week as well. I'm very excited. My family's coming over Sunday for my birthday, and it's supposed to be in the mid-70s. We're going to do some grilling and just sit outside and have a couple of adult beverages. And
no.
Then, no, I know, shocker.
No, and don't tell me you're going to wrap it up by watching fisticuffs.
I am. I'm getting fired up. Northern Colorado's Justin Gaethje. University of Northern Colorado's Justin Gaethje is fighting at the UFC 250.
You're giving him very little chance in this from our conversations.
That Ilia Topuria is just an animal. He is just an absolute animal. I hope he shocks the world. I hope Justin Gaethje shocks the world, but very intrigued by the whole situation of what's going on and of an outdoor MMA fight and all of the stuff. I'm very intrigued to see what happens. The fight in and of itself, I can't wait for. And there's a couple of absolute bangers on that card that if everything goes like a normal, typical UFC fight should, this is going to be an electric UFC fight. But there's obviously a lot of spectacles. And there, I just was reading that there was a lawsuit that was filed to try and put
that
an injunction.
Right, that got thrown aside.
Oh, it did?
Yeah, tossed aside. There were nothing illegal about the setup and all that. Yeah, there had been, and somebody filed an injunction or whatever to try to stop this.
Right.
But no, all go ahead. It's, you know, whether you're a fight fan or not, or, you know, look, we're all, I think we can all appreciate the 250th anniversary of the United States.
Yeah.
You know, and the... there is a fight card on the White House lawn is very interesting, whether you dig it or not.
Right.
It's very interesting. So to me, it's almost like the basketball game the other night,
right,
where, you know, it's like, you know, whether you're into it or not, the spectacle and the feel of what you're about to see, it's neat to tune in and just get a feel for that.
Right.
And I feel the same way about Sunday's card, but just as a spectacle, you know, I want to see visually how it's pulled off and what it feels like.
I agree. And like, it's got the potential to be the coolest thing ever. In my, but it's got the potential to be, and it's also got the potential to be a colossal failure.
Yes, it does. That's why I'm intrigued.
Yeah, it could be a train wreck or it could be a really cool train. Like, that's where it is. The winner of the Taporia and Gaethje fight, I think, has to be the next president, right? I think that's how
that's why it's working out now, isn't it? Because Trump kicked Biden's butt in the octagon, and that's how he got there. And that's how we're going to start settling things from now on. I can't wait.
There was Matt Walsh. I don't know what his official. He's a right wing political commentator. I think that's the best way of saying.
Well, that narrows it down.
They Google has him listed as an American right wing political commentator. But he posted something when. I hadn't even seen the card or the artist that we're supposed to perform. I hadn't seen any of that. And then when everything fell through, I started to see it. But Matt Walsh came out and he's like, I am getting angry at how bad we're botching the 250th birthday of this, where it's just going to be more of a campaign rally. And it's like, that's not unifying. That's not celebratory. That's not any of this. And so I can certainly appreciate how bad this administration has botched this 250th birthday of America. And for a lot of people, you know, they're probably not paying attention to what the national landscape, you know, what the administration is doing, and they're just going to party their asses off, you know, for the 4th of July and America's 250th birthday and take a moment to say, hey, this is truly an accomplishment for a country with this crazy little idea that we had of making it 250 years. Is a really cool accomplishment, and it couldn't have been done without tremendous veterans and tremendous men and women in our military forces who have been able to provide us a safety blanket and protect these freedoms that this country was built upon throughout 250 years. Whatever conflict it is, it couldn't have been done without those men and women. And High Plains Honor Flight urges you to take a moment this 4th of July, as we are celebrating, to stop and think about those veterans who have helped us get to this 250-year mark.
No question. And it can be difficult. I think a lot of people are struggling. I'm glad you brought that up with separating our 250th with separating that from Trump himself.
Yeah.
Because we existed long before, and I've never experienced so much dislike for the leader, and anything he puts his name to, automatically there's going to be a faction of no support, don't do that. If you just throw all of that aside, and like you said, remember 250 years, of existence, that is something to celebrate and separate it from. If you need to separate it from that, do that. And just remember, it's our country that it's about.
Yeah.
And I saw a good article about all the people who decided not to play. And that's the trouble with this, is it is so, it's been marketed so much as Trump's deal.
Yeah.
Correct. You know, that I think people buy into that. Somebody wrote a really good column. Actually, it was Bill Maher, I think it was, who was talking about all the musicians who have backed out of the concert, saying, wouldn't it be cool if we actually could have celebrated America, and had all this in there? Instead, now it's come down to Lee Greenwood and Vanilla Ice and Donald Trump.
Yeah, that division has – is that actually the lineup?
Yes, it is.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I'll tune in at 6 when the fights start. But that division has taken what should be a very cool moment.
Yes.
And it's making it not feel that way out there. And it is sad, but again – that's what I'm saying. Like, take a step back. You know, the 4th of July is coming up. We're celebrating 250 years as a country. That is truly something that is incredible, that we've made it on the principles that founded this country in large part. I mean, we still refer to that old document, that Constitution, that was written 250 years ago, which is just absolutely insane. And so it's certainly going to be interesting. And of course, this is just this Sunday that the UFC fight's going on. And just as a pure fight fan, I don't care if this was taking place in the middle of November. Like, this is a card that I'm going to be watching.
To have one of your favorite sports have a huge event on your birthday,
Yeah.
I mean, that's cool. I got my birthday falls September 13th, and many times it's the kickoff of the NFL season.
Yeah.
It is this year as well. I mean, what a great gift.
Yeah, correct. And my favorite UFC fighter, too. And Justin, that is by far my favorite UFC fighter.
So it's all for you. Remember.
Yeah, correct.
This is for Tanner.
Correct. I miss the days where my birthday was Flag Day, not Trump's birthday. I do miss those days.
I bet. I miss those days.
All right, there you go. There's news for Northern Colorado presented by CRP 4x4 Truck Outfitters online at crp4x4.com. 7:21 the time now. You're listening to Good Morning NOCO. So I was saying earlier, Brian, that I've been watching a ton of baseball. We talked about it off air yesterday, but have you been following what's going on with the Athletics? And I was looking if they're the Oakland, Sacramento, they're just the Athletics right now?
Not necessarily, no. I kind of overheard you guys talking a bit about it. I was confused as to where they were playing this year, period.
So they're playing in Sacramento, but for some reason, and I don't know what the reason is, I haven't found it, they're playing six games in Las Vegas at a AAA stadium.
For the purpose of?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't
just
know.
Just letting Vegas see what's coming.
They're kind of like nomads right now.
Yeah.
So they're playing six games. Three of those games happen to be against the Colorado Rockies this weekend in Vegas.
And then the Savannah Bananas, right?
Yes.
That's pretty much the way it's scheduled.
But the first game was 15 to 14, in Las Vegas.
In this little ballpark.
It is one of the most, it is the second highest elevation in Major League Baseball to Coors Field. It's 110 out there, and the winds are blowing out.
That equals travel.
Yeah, correct. In game one, the teams combined for 11 home runs. 11 home runs in one game.
I have never heard of such a thing.
Five home runs last night in this. So there's been 16 home runs in these first two games.
How far are the fences? Is this being played where the Little League World Series is? Or?
So there was only one that was truly like a gimmicky home run. But the jet stream there in Vegas and the thin air and the hot air is just, as soon as that ball gets up in any air, it's gone.
So is the stadium they're going to build in Vegas going to be enclosed?
It's going to be.
It's got to be there.
It's a retractable roof.
Okay.
It is a retractable roof. Because I watched some of it last night.
Uh-huh.
And they showed a makeup of what the stadium looks sick. I mean, the renderings
of
it look
sure
awesome.
It's going to be fantastic.
But the home runs hit last night. Jackson Churio in the top of the first inning for the Brewers hit a 354-foot home run.
That's not very far.
The center field mark at Coors Field is 410, just for example.
Okay.
So at Coors Field that would be an easy pop out to center field. Now there was another one that went 354 feet. There was a 483-foot home run.
That's legit.
But it was one like. That I watched, where was it? Like in the bottom of the six, this guy for the Astros or the Athletics, rather. I mean, he clipped it, but he didn't clip it hard. It got up in that air, went 430 feet. It's insane. Guess who the two teams are who are leading June in home runs?
Who?
The Athletics and the Brewers.
Those two
teams, because of what's going on there. And I'm like, looking at all these stats, I'm like, these hitters have to be loving playing at this minor league ballpark, because their averages are going up, their home run totals are going up, but pitchers have to hate playing there because what would be normal pop-ups are going out of the ballpark.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering about pitching there, because, you know, people have always complained about throwing here at Coors Field with the altitude and that kind of thing. The altitude isn't the factor there. I'm wondering, is it that when the ball gets hit, it just travels, or does the ball not move out of the pitcher's hand like it does in other places.
Both. Because it's not only is the air thinner there, but like I said, the elevation, actually, I didn't know this about it, but this is the second highest elevated ballpark in MLB.
I would have never guessed.
I wouldn't either.
No.
But there was 29 runs scored in game one, 12 scored last night. So 41 runs in the first two games of the series.
Sounds very familiar, doesn't it?
Well, and that's
as Colorado Rockies fans and Coors Field, and when they played at Mile High, we had that.
And it was the Brewers broadcast that was on MLB Network last night. And like, yeah, the Brewers lead the league in home runs to start June. It's like, you just played the Rockies and now playing the Athletics in Vegas.
Yeah, if you don't lead.
Correct. You've got an issue. It felt a little gimmicky, but just so you know, like Rockies play there Friday night, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Mm.
That's going to be kind of fun to watch that, because it's hopefully the Rockies, you know, get some good home runs. Hunter Goodman, though, continued his barrage of home runs. He's at 18.
Yeah, he jacked one last night, didn't he?
First inning, yeah. He's gone three straight games now with a home run, I believe. So 18 home runs for Hunter Goodman. But just a little gimmicky. But, you know, if you participate, the overs are a lot of fun to bet on a late-night baseball game.
And I could be crazy for this, but I'm just for some reason have a feeling that he could turn out to be Helton-esque.
Yeah.
In the sense that I think he's a forever Rocky.
Yeah.
He kind of feels like that, and it feels like the franchise feels that way. And I think the fan base is getting there, too, that he is going to be the guy and the face of consistency for this team.
This is more of a condemnation of what the Rockies have done at the catcher position. But Hunter Goodman's already the best Rockies catcher of all time.
I think he's done that in a very short period of time.
Two years, right?
Yeah, like, but those back-to-back successful years. Girardi was nice when he was back there.
Your Vittori Alba. Do you remember your
Vittori? I do.
Yeah, him. Who was Chris Iannetta? Was a good
one.
I do
remember.
Now you're up my alley. Let's talk about bad Rockies catchers. I've got them loaded, ready to go.
But this is, I do think this is the creme de la creme of what the Rockies have ever had there, and I hope that that continues. I hope it's one of those that he plays as long as he can behind the plate and ends up being the first baseman, later on.
Correct.
You know, that kind of deal.
I agree completely. If he's not a Rockies lifer, he's on pace to become the first Rockies player since 2019, 7 years ago. Nolan Arredondo, he's on pace to be the first Rocky in 7 years to hit 40-plus home runs. He's on pace for that right now. So,
And he seems like he's on pace to be a perennial All-Star as well.
Correct.
And should be.
Correct. Agree completely. 7:34 the time now. You are listening to Good Morning NOCA.
There's only one feeling like knowing your banker personally. Like growing up with a bank you can count on. Like being sure what you've earned is safe, secure, and local. There's only one feeling, like knowing you're supporting your community. You deserve more from a bank. You deserve an institution that stood strong for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Eastside Chris texting in, Tanner, what are the over-under on scores for those games right now? Any guess on, as we're talking about the Athletics and the Brewers right now playing in Vegas, any guess
what
over-under is?
I'm going to say 12.5.
14.5.
Is it really? Okay, I thought I was going a little deep with that one.
With the over-juiced, so it'll probably be 15.5 before the day. Like, for comparison, Rockies tonight in Coors Field with Michael Lorenzen going, bad pitcher, right? It's 12.5 at Coors Field. It's 14.5 right now for this ballpark. So a little
those
gimmicky.
Are pretty lofty, but I think I'd take the over on both.
Probably. But it's a little gimmicky, but I kind of like it. I don't know how I feel. I'm glad it's only six games happening there. I still don't know why the Athletics are playing in that ballpark.
No idea.
No.
No idea.
It makes for some fun, though. At Auto Taylor, there's no deception, no games, no tricks, just a smooth-running car. Online at autotaylor.com. On my drive in, I was like, it's been a minute since I've got a service over at Auto Taylor. Look down. Still had 1,000 miles. I haven't been driving as much as I normally do. So excited about that. But I do know when that time comes, I just drop my vehicle off at Auto Taylor. The customer service of, hey, here's where you're at, here's how long we've got. The communication is second to none. Check them out online, autotailor.com, or on 16th Street and 10th Avenue in Greeley. Robin Varlman, Livestock Exchange, joins us next, but first, the KFK News and Sports Center. With the cattle market. Joining us now to break it down for us, Robin Varlman from Livestock Exchange. Robin, good morning, my friend. How are we looking here on a Wednesday morning?
Well, good morning. You know what? We're looking positive. Is that good?
That's very good. Yes.
From my understanding of the word positive, yes.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes. So, the markets are up on the overnight, and appears to be trading on a positive note this morning as well. We're still not where we were a few weeks ago, but you know what? Last change was 354 on the feeders and 248 on the fat, so we'll take that. And, corn is up as well. Everything looks green on the board this morning. So, you know, kind of grows with the trees. Trees are growing. It's green out there, so we like it.
I like that comparison here this morning. I've been making a mental log, and we're batting 500. We're batting 500 right now, Robin, the last 4 weeks. Two of the 4 weeks that we've been down, two of the 4 weeks we've been up. This is the definition of unevenly steady, is it not?
Absolutely.
And that's not a bad spot for the markets to be.
Absolutely, it's not. You know, again, as we always talk each week, we do decide that steady is the best way. You know, high drops, big increases are never a good thing. Gives too much shock and awe. So we do like the steady. So, you know, if we can crouch those feeders back up to 365, that'll make some people real happy. But, right now we're into the 354. So, yes, it's good. Going on in the world, you know, it's okay.
That'll work. How did Saturday go for you guys, Robin?
Oh, you know what? It was phenomenal. We had 91 horses, 21 in the catalog, and a total of 91, and it was really good. We had a highest horse live bid, but they did pass it out. It was 21,000. We sold quite a few in the $4,000 to $5,000 range, and it was a good day. It was a good one.
I love that. Is that something you guys are going to be doing monthly, Robin? Is that quarterly? How are we doing it?
It's annually.
Annually, okay.
Yep, it'll be the first Saturday in June every year, and we've developed a fraternity that goes with it. So colts that were purchased through the auction will actually have a competition fraternity. So, it'll be great.
I love that.
Yes.
No, I'm glad to hear that. Robin Varlman, Livestock Exchange, joining us this morning. Robin, what do you got on the docket this week out there in Brush?
Oh, my gosh. What do you want? Let me ask you that.
I would like a ribeye. Medium.
We have them on special on the hoof.
Okay.
Perfect. A miniature Scottish Highlander.
I don't think he was on the docket.
No, okay.
I'm still waiting.
I thought so.
Yep. Christmas this year.
Gentlemen, we are on our combined summer selling schedule, so everything sells on Thursdays. We start at 9 o'clock with our wake-up bulls. We go to the baby calves at 11:45, pairs and breads at noon, and stocker feeders to follow that. We do have 40 head of, we're going to prey check them. Sounds like they're fall calvers, so there may be some opens on it. But we do have quite a few other cows out there that are bred cows. And, of course, they're always, at this time of year, they're ready to go home and do the work. Everybody else was just done and cleaning out pastures. So we do have a nice selection of that, and we'll have some feeder cattle out there, some baby calves. Lots going on. Hay coming in for next week's hay sale. So, yes, and we are now taking consignments for the open consignment auction, which will be held on July the 18th. Have a couple feed trucks, couple stock trailers, an aluminum trailer. Understanding I've got a living quarters, real nice living quarters horse trailer going to be on that auction. So if you've got something to sell, that, again, will be in July 18th. So we're taking consignments so we can get pictures, get them out there, and get them on the sale bill.
I love it, Robin. You guys truly do have a ton going on. And I've always thought that the fall calving guy's got it figured out.
You know, sometimes I think so too. But how come I just can't get there?
I don't know. It's normally February or March when we've got negative 20 and wind coming and snow coming down. Then I'm like, why don't we calve these things like in May or November? Why, or you know, even earlier than that? Why don't we do that?
I guess we haven't been told of Hard Knocks enough yet.
Yeah, apparently we're not quick learners. Is that what you're saying?
I think that's the word.
For radio purposes,
that's
I think
a nice
that
way of
word.
Putting it. Does Tate have a cow yet?
Yeah, Tate's got a, we've got a little bottle calf.
You do? Okay.
Dino. Yep, Dino. We've got a little Dino out there for Tate. He doesn't know what to think of him still. next summer, I've got a sneaking suspicion that we're going to have just about one of everything out there. It's going to be like Noah's Ark. We're going to have a couple of everything out there on the farm, Robin.
I'll bring the burrow.
Awesome. Tegan wants a burrow.
Okay. All right. I don't know why I didn't think about you calling my bluff on that, Robin. I don't know why that didn't cross my mind. Robin, how do people get in contact with you or find more information about all the good things you got going on at Livestock Exchange?
Absolutely. They can sure reach us anytime by the good old telephone, 970-842-5115. They can always reach me on my mobile, 970-380-3798, and they can watch us on the World Wide Web at www.livestockexchange.org. They can sure check out our sales schedule again with under Cattle USA, and they can also follow us on Facebook. So lots of ways to reach us, and you can also email us at lei@livestockexchange.org. So you name it, we can get a hold of you. You can reach us, and that's what we're here for. We want to help you market your hay and your cattle and horses to top dollar.
Robin's got rumors got it, Robin, that you guys will accept carrier pigeons.
Is that how I got that mail?
I think so.
I wondered, because the pony died on the Pony Express. That's how I got it. Carrier pigeons.
Good. That's what I was.
She's bringing a burrow to a party, and she's getting her mail by carrier pigeon. This has been an interesting morning.
It certainly has. Robin, as always, we greatly appreciate your time, and look forward to catching up with you next week.
Absolutely. Thank you, gentlemen.
There you go. What was that?
Keep ag alive.
Absolutely, Robin. Hey, thanks for the time this morning. There's Robin Varlman from Livestock Exchange. HVAC guy said, but no sheep. No, we decided to pass on the sheep.
You got no sheep?
Figured we were busy enough.
You bring the bear and I'll bring the burrow.
It sounds like a Wheeler Walker. Is it Wheeler Walker? Am I saying that right? Walker Wheeler.
I don't know who
that
is.
You don't know who Walker Wheeler is?
No, and I think you said this to me last time when you brought him up, and I said, I don't know.
He's retiring from country music, but that sounds like a song that he would write. I'll show you a song during break. No, we can't play any of them.
Okay.
A lot of songs like the rodeo song.
Oh, yeah. Okay, from Gary Lee and Showdown.
A lot of songs like that.
Gotcha. There's been some very nasty ones throughout the years.
Yeah.
David Allan Coe had a whole album of them, or two.
Or, like, keep going. We might end up sounding like LeBron when he went to Miami. Not one, not two, not three. But there you go. There's Robin Varlman. Appreciate her time, as always, with the Cattle Market Update. Let's grab a quick break here. Let's get to the Daybreak Ag Report. Couple texts coming in this morning on our right-hand construction poll question. Your favorite gas station snack or food? And let's see, your texts are from the 970. A bag of Chester's Puffed Corn and a 44-ounce Fountain Dew, and I'm ready to roll.
Yeah, giddy up. Yeah, we could travel together.
Okay.
I like those. The Chester's Puffed Corn is pretty darn good. No hulls to mess with.
I don't think I've had 44 ounces of pop in the last year.
Oh, I...
That is a...
I'm thirsty a lot.
That is a big pop.
Yeah, it's a large soda.
Oh, no, it's pop. The tiebreaker was texting about the breakfast pizza. He said that was at the Come and Go, but I think they've still seen it at what they became. Oh, okay. Out at Mavericks. Is Mavericks now taking over for Come and Go? I don't know what intersection he's talking about, but there's breakfast pizza out there somewhere.
I've seen Maverick stores. I can't recall the experience.
Happy hunting for that breakfast pizza, and let us know when and where you found it.
I used to make a great breakfast pizza.
You see, again, I got to pull what we pull on everybody else.
Yeah, okay. Prove it.
Bring it in.
It's been a long time.
I want to say thanks to Mosquito Joe of Northern Colorado. Enjoy those outside get-togethers in comfort this summer. I say Sunday for my birthday, we're just going to all sit around outside and just enjoy the nice weather and the company. And we get to do it because without mosquitoes, because of Mosquito Joe of Northern Colorado, they provide protection with intention. Go to noco.mosquitojoe.com. That's noco.mosquitojoe.com. All right. Coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, Warren Schaefer was very candid in a pre-game interview yesterday about fans taking over the stands that aren't fans of the Rockies. We'll talk about that.
You've complained about that a long time.
A lot. We will be joined by Life Stories at 8:35 this morning. 9 o'clock hour, the new song by Shaboozy for our Smash Trash or Compost presented by A1 Organics. And a whole lot of fun in between. Be a part of the show today. Text us 888-530-0043. Call us at 970-353-1310. It's Good Morning NoCo. We're presented by Lemons Heating and Cooling right here on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 to 1310 KFKA.
The boys are back in town again.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.